welcome to Understanding the Bible. We're glad that you joined us today, and I hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. I hope that you'll take your Bible and follow along in the Scriptures as we go through the Bible study. As I've said often on the broadcast, the purpose of the broadcast is to give you information that will help you understand your Bible. That is really our only goal and our only purpose. We're not here to try to sell you anything. We're not here to try to get you to join anything. We just want you to understand your Bible and to give you some keys to help you do that. If you have any comments or questions, the name and address of our church, as well as my telephone number, will be given at the end of the broadcast, and we would love to hear from you. If you would like to write us both either negative or positive comments, we'd love to hear from you. And if you want to give me a call, as I said, the number will be given at the end of the broadcast. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 is a verse that we use in beginning the study each time. The reason for that is because I believe that one of the main keys to understanding your Bible is found in this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul, who said that he was the apostle to the Gentiles, said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, you hear that phrase used a lot in religion today, rightly dividing the word of truth, and yet I'm afraid that many people don't really understand the significance or the real meaning of the verse. I've got a chart here that I want to use to demonstrate what Paul is saying in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, about rightly dividing the word of truth. On the chart, I have listed all the books of the New Testament. Obviously, there's the Old Testament. We've not listed those books, but we've listed the books of the New Testament. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are called the Gospels. Then we have the book of Acts. And then we have the books that Paul wrote in order there, Romans through Philemon, 13 epistles. And then we have what are called the Hebrew epistles, Hebrews through Revelation. Now, when Paul said to rightly divide the word of truth, he is telling us there that we need to distinguish between the truth for the church, the body of Christ, and the nation Israel. You see, in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the emphasis there was on the earthly ministry of Christ and his training of 12 men to preach the gospel of the kingdom. After his ascension in Acts, that's exactly what they do. That gospel of the kingdom was repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. But when Paul is saved in Acts chapter 9, God Almighty gives Paul what is called the revelation of the mystery, Romans chapter 16, verse 25. He gives Paul the dispensation of the grace of God, Ephesians chapter 3. And in that revelation that he gave Paul, he gave Paul the message of salvation for the church, the body of Christ. That message of salvation was not repent and be baptized. That message of salvation was that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised again the third day for our justification. Paul preached that throughout his epistles. He wrote it down, and so in his epistles we have salvation for the church, the body of Christ. We have the doctrine, the position, the walk for the church, the body of Christ. Then in Hebrews through Revelation, the doctrine there centers around, again, the nation Israel, primarily during the tribulation period and the millennial reign of Christ. Now, as you study your Bible and you look at the doctrine that I'm talking about here of rightly dividing the word of truth, there are several things you'll notice if you'll believe the Bible means what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it. I would encourage you to get you a King James Bible, open that Bible, and look at the Scriptures I'm going to give you today, and you'll see that there are things that without rightly dividing the word of truth, you simply cannot explain. A man said many years ago in talking about rightly dividing the word of truth that things that differ are not the same. Now that seems like a very elementary statement. And yet, if you read your Bible, there are going to be things that seem like contradictions, and yet they're not contradictions when you understand the difference between Israel and the church. What I want to do today on this broadcast is point out some of these dramatic differences between the kingdom program, and again, remember now, the kingdom program is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the first part of Acts. Church doctrine is found in Romans through Philemon. And so I want you to notice a difference in what Paul had to say about certain things versus what Christ himself had to say or Peter, James, and John had to say. Now, all the Bible is equally inspired. All the Bible is the Word of God. But it's obvious when you read the Bible that there are certain things that are written directly to us as members of the body of Christ. We're living in the dispensation of the grace of God. Those 13 books that Paul wrote, Romans through Philemon, that's the doctrine for the dispensation of the grace of God. We're not under the law. Romans chapter 7, Paul said, we've been delivered from the law. So under grace, there are things that are different from the kingdom program, which was operating under the law, and the program of the tribulation and the millennial reign of Christ that we read about in Hebrews through Revelation. Now, I want you to notice with me several things in the Scriptures. First of all, I want us to compare two passages of Scripture, Acts chapter 10 and Titus chapter 3. I hope again that you'll turn to these and look at these passages because they are dramatically different. And being different, obviously, they're not the same. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35, Peter has been to the house of Cornelius. When he went down there, he didn't really understand why Cornelius had called for him. Peter said, I perceive that, he said, it's not lawful for me to go to a man of another nation. But God has showed me not to call any man common or unclean. And so in Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35, after Cornelius has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Well, then the question is, why is it that Peter would make a statement such as this? Well, under the kingdom message, as well as under the law, works were always a part of salvation. Now, a person could never be saved by works alone, but works were a part of salvation. Under grace, salvation is a free gift without works. Notice what Paul said in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He said, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Also in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, when you read these passages, it's easy to understand why there's so much confusion about salvation today. In one passage, Peter said, I perceive in every nation that he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Paul said just the opposite. He said it's not by works of righteousness. Well, why is there the difference? Because under the program that Peter was associated with, the kingdom gospel, works were a part of salvation. That's why he said, repent and be baptized. But Paul said, it's not by works of righteousness. He said, it's by grace we're saved. He said, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. As a matter of fact, as you read through the Bible, if you'll pay attention, particularly to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that Jesus Christ specifically taught His disciples and others to keep the law. And yet, when Paul was given his revelation, he said, we're not under the law. He said, we've been delivered from the law. Notice what Christ said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 17. A man came to Christ and he said, good master, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God, but if thou wilt enter the life, keep the commandments. Now, there's no doubt that that was what Jesus Christ meant. You don't have to worry about people that see. I mean, some people come along and they'll say, well, Jesus Christ was putting this man to a test. He didn't really mean that. He meant exactly that. He said, keep the commandments. Not only that, in Matthew 23, verse 1, the Bible says, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Well, obviously, scribes sitting in the Pharisee or sitting in Moses' seat would be teaching the law of Moses. And what did Jesus Christ teach them? He said, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. In the Great Commission, He said to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And that's exactly what they did. As a matter of fact, over in Acts chapter 21, verse 20, the Bible says, when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto Him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they're all zealous of the law. If you believe this Bible means what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it, you've got to admit, you've got to understand, you've got to believe that Jesus Christ specifically taught His disciples to keep the law. And they did it for salvation. Not that the keeping of the law could save them alone, but the keeping of the law demonstrated their faith that they had, and it was part of their salvation. And yet, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law. We've been delivered from the law. He said, if by grace it is no more of works, Romans 11, verse 6. Now, those words are not hard to understand. You see, the Bible is not hard to understand. The Bible is hard for us to believe in light of what we've been taught by the religious system that most of us grew up in. I grew up in a religious system, and I believed what they taught me until I began to read the Bible. And when I began to read and study the Bible, I found out that I had been sold a bill of goods. I found out that the Bible said things completely contrary to what I was taught in a religious system. I was taught that people were always saved in the Old Testament by looking forward to the cross. Well, they may have been looking forward to the cross, but if they didn't keep that law, the Bible said they were cut off. They were cut off from the nation Israel, and they lost their privilege of salvation. Yes, they were looking forward to Messiah coming and sitting upon the throne of David, but they were not looking forward to Messiah coming and dying. They were looking for Him to come and establish a kingdom, and in that kingdom they were to keep the law. Christ specifically taught His disciples to keep the law, yet Paul said, we're not under the law. Another thing I want you to notice, the 12, not only Peter and James and John, but all the 12 taught that works were necessary for salvation, while Paul taught that they were not. I would ask you to compare James chapter 2, verse 24, and Romans 4, verse 5. These sound like absolute contradictions, and they are if you don't rightly divide the word of truth. One of them is talking in relation to Israel. The other is in relation to the church, the body of Christ. James said, in James 2:24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Now this is a favorite verse of every person that believes in a works-oriented salvation today. And yet Paul said in Romans 4, verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now that's good news for you and I today. It's not by our works. Oh, it was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Works plus faith. Today, it's faith only. James said, you see then how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Paul would have never made a statement like that. Why? Because Paul was given the dispensation of the grace of God. Paul was given the gospel of the grace of God that said Christ died for our sins. He said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. How different that is from what Christ taught. How different that is from what Peter taught. It's altogether different. Why? Because Paul was given a revelation for salvation for you and I today in the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, I want you to think about something else. Baptism, water baptism, is obviously a work. It's something that people perform in the flesh. Baptism is a work and was necessary for Israel's salvation. But did you know something? Water baptism today has no place in God's program. We are living today in the dispensation of the grace of God, and Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 that there's just one baptism. What is that baptism? Well, he said, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. There's not one verse of Scripture in Paul's epistles that ever tells us to be baptized in water. You say, well, Paul baptized some. Yes, he did in the early part of his ministry, but Paul also did many other things in the early part of his ministry that we don't practice in the church today. Paul took a vow and shaved his head and kept the feast and abstained from eating certain things during the book of Acts and later told the Colossians not to do those things that he had done. Why? Because God was instituting a new program. It was called the dispensation of the grace of God. It was to Gentiles who were outside the covenants of promise. It was to us who were not allied with the nation of Israel, who were not in the covenants of promise. Notice what Peter said about baptism in Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, there are those today who do not believe in baptismal regeneration, but neither do they rightly divide the word of truth. And so they'll go to Acts 2:38 and they'll have to change the verse in order to make it fit their doctrine that baptism is practiced only as an evidence of salvation. Well, let me tell you something. You don't have to fool around with the Word of God like that. You can believe it means what it says. I believe Acts 2:38 means exactly what it says. I believe those to whom Peter was writing to had to be baptized for the remission of sins. As a matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filthiness of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why, Peter said, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Listen, folks. Water baptism was an integral part of salvation for the nation of Israel, but it has no part in salvation today for us in the dispensation of the grace of God. While Paul said, when he was asked, what must I do to be saved in Acts chapter 16? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. He said in Romans 11:6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You say, what happened? Well, there was a change. That's why he said, rightly divide the word of truth. There is a change when the Apostle Paul is saved in Acts chapter 9. Instead of pouring his wrath out upon the nation Israel, he saves Paul. And he begins a new program that includes all men. Why, you see, in Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus Christ sent out the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples, he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Do you realize that under that commission that you and I would have been left out? Yet the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, he said, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision of flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now let me ask you, why were these people without hope and without God? Well, Paul said because they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Do you realize that you would have never known about being made nigh by the blood of Christ if God hadn't saved an apostle and raised him up and given him the gospel of the grace of God and the dispensation of the grace of God to usward? That's what he says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, that was given to Paul, a new revelation. He says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, and how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. God revealed a new body of truth to the Apostle Paul. It's called the mystery. And that mystery reveals to us that today there's been a change in God's program. We're not under the law. We're not under the commandments. We're not under water baptism. We don't have to repent and be baptized for remission of sins. Today, salvation has been extended to all men. and forgiveness is from all sins from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Paul said in Acts chapter 13. That's the good news. Why is it people today would want to put themselves back under a program, a performance system? It must have to do with something. It must have something to do with their ego or their pride. Paul said, not of works, lest any man should boast. And people today that believe that God will save them based on what they do, they have a pride problem. They want to have something to do with their salvation rather than just trusting in what Jesus Christ did in their behalf. Listen, the 12 taught that works were necessary for salvation. Paul said they're not necessary. The 12 taught that baptism was necessary. Peter said, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. He said, the like figure whereunto even baptism also doth now save us. Paul never taught that. Paul said, it's not by works. He said, it's by grace through faith. Now, another thing that is altogether different in this dispensation. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus taught that forgiveness was conditional on man forgiving others. And yet Paul, in his epistles, taught that we are forgiven based solely on what Christ did for us. Compare two passages. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, part of what is called the Lord's Prayer, Jesus Christ said, Matthew 6, 15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, that is not a statement that is subjective. It is a definite statement. If you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, you know what? When God revealed the mystery to Paul, when God gave the dispensation of grace to Paul, when God gave Paul the gospel of the grace of God, Acts 20, verse 24, he said his ministry was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. When God revealed all that truth to Paul, he also revealed to Paul that there at the cross, he has forgiven us all trespasses. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. One of the most wonderful truths you'll find in this Bible. He said, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You see, religion today has convinced people that today sin is the issue. Well, sin is not the issue. You know why that is? Because of what we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Paul said there, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, how can that be? Well, the explanation of it is in verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Your sin is not the issue today. How do I know that? Because the Bible said Christ died for your sin. The Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. You see, God is not holding your sin against you today. Why? Because when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, God forgave you all trespasses. So what is the issue today? It's not your sin. Your sins were paid for. The issue is belief. You either believe today that your salvation is dependent upon what Christ did, or you believe that your salvation is dependent upon some work of your flesh. You see, so many people today believe that the grace of God simply means that you have to do your part and then God will do His part. No, God did it all when He sent His Son to Calvary and died for your sins there on the cross. So my admonition to you today is, forget about what you've heard in church. Forget about what religion has taught you, and for once in your life, believe what this Bible says. I've just read to you numerous passages where the salvation that was preached by Jesus Christ and the 12 is altogether different from the salvation preached by the Apostle Paul. Why? Because Paul said Christ died for our sins. He said that salvation is available to all based on what Jesus Christ did. Therefore, today, all you need to do is trust in what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. The Bible says that in the tribulation, God Almighty will send some people a strong delusion, and they'll believe a lie and be damned. Why? Because they smoked and drank and went to nightclubs? No. It says because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. The good news for you today is Jesus paid it all. All your sins are forgiven. They're not being imputed to you. And God Almighty will save you if you'll simply trust in what His Son did for you at Calvary. Why don't you quit trying to be saved? Quit trying to figure out how to get saved and simply trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and He'll save you for Christ's sake. Why don't you trust Him right now?
Grace Bible Church extends to you and your family a cordial invitation to join us for our Sunday services. Bible classes begin at 10 a.m. with morning service at 11 and informal evening Bible study at 6 p.m. For more information, phone 847-0768. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Understanding Your Bible. For more information, write to the address on your screen or call 423-847-0768. Be sure to be with us again next week for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.